Montag lieben Klausen Globen.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I feel bad for Stan Weber. I think I think he was taken aback by Nate's ranting and raving about Kansas football both during the show and the commercial breaks. So right now I'd like you to apologize to Stan Weber on the air.
No, I don't have anything to apologize for. I think he liked the passion. I think Stan enjoyed seeing somebody
he
get fired up.
He scooted his
about
chair
football.
Back almost onto the deck.
Well, because he knew I was being intense.
Right.
You ever heard of that one, Stan?
How much coffee have you had?
Just a couple of cups.
Yeah. Too much, you think?
I'm doing a calcium scan.
What the hell's going on out there?
That was a big
lightning
strike. Was
that a gunshot or a firework or thunder?
That was a big old lightning strike.
Get Lizak back on the phone. What the hell was it?
Woo! Come on!
Is that really... That scared the hell out of you. You jumped out of your seat.
A little bit.
Did everyone else hear that?
I saw it.
What's going on here?
Saw it and heard it.
Luke, yeah. The intern, just ran out of the office to investigate. He's a weather chaser, he said. Storm chaser. All right, so I'm just going to be very frank with you.
Frank Bull?
Yeah.
Frankie Valli?
We're going to do like a little, yes, Frankie Valli. Play some Frankie Valli. That'll make me happy. Yeah. We're going to do... Yeah, and yes, I'm little does Susan know, but I'm making her go see the Elvis movie again with me tonight. Nice. Or I'll go by myself. I don't care. Do you think I care? I'll go by myself.
No, you don't.
And just watch that again. And so we're going to do like a little community segment here because we were both contacted by people that wanted to come on the show and talk about some things going on for the youth.
Yeah.
For youths.
We like to be here for the community.
Right.
For the kids.
But normally, like when I have people that I know that want to come on the show, my blanket answer is no.
Yeah.
Right? Because you got people, you know.
Everybody
right?
wants something.
Everyone wants something
you
from
say,
you.
Call my people.
Right. And my people's Marco, and he didn't answer his phone.
Right.
And so that's a very difficult thing. But I say I do have a soft spot for anyone that grew up in Northeast with me. You know that, right? Just like you have a soft spot for KCK.
That's right.
Or anyone that grew up on a lake in Kansas, you love them. And so if you grew up in a lake, Nate
if you're
will
on a
connect
lake,
with you
yeah.
quickly.
As long as it's a fancy
somewhere
lake.
Aaron Swartz goes, yeah, I told you, that's right. And so this guy has reached out to me and said he wanted to talk about something that's important to him. And so I said, hey, back in the day in Northeast, we were on the same Little League baseball team.
Okay.
We played for the American Sons of Columbus, right? He led the league in home runs. I led the league in batting average. All right? He was
Did
Boomer.
Did you lead
I was
the
slugger.
League in cussing out the umpire?
No, that was my dad. That was Steve St. John Sr. And look, he has something. He's doing something for the kids, and so I have him on the show. And we played Midget C baseball out at the Little League. At the base by Bannister Mall.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And our manager, our coach was Ron White. Our two best pitchers. Let's get him on the John Pesciotta, who I grew up with. John,
hey
what are you doing?
How you doing, Slugger?
Do you remember when we played baseball together?
Slugger.
Yeah, that's right. What's up, Boomer? We had our two best pitchers were Tommy John Phillips and David Gonzalez.
Okay.
That's right.
We had Mikey White playing in the middle infield. We had Joe Mormino running around out there somewhere. We had you and didn't we have Anthony Bonino or not?
Anthony Bonino, yeah.
Now he runs the quaff, but he was on our team back then, all right? And so then we had you. And so now, okay, tell people, so what do you do now? What do you do with your life now? You have a beautiful family that I see on Facebook.
I appreciate
that. What has become of you?
Well, I'm still on the Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
We're at.
And I'm up north now at station number 3.
All right. Okay. And so, and then also, you're heavily involved in a youth football program, and you wanted to call in and mention a couple of camps you got coming up. And it's just you go ahead and you tell me what and I'm giving you, because of our days back in Northeast, and I've always I love your family, I've always loved your parents. It was always very nice to me when other parents would shun me and look at me and say, stay away from our house. Your family is always very nice to me. So tell me what you have and how's your family doing? Is everyone good?
Everybody's great.
Okay.
How about you?
All right. You know, we're doing good. We're friends on Facebook, and we'll like each other's pictures, and then and we'll stay in contact. But I want you to tell me about this football program and let people know what you want them to know.
So the 2022 season marks in a historic time for us that we feel is very important to us. The Chargers Youth Football is coming up on its 60th year anniversary. Coaching youth football, it's Chargers Youth Football Organization. We've been coaching kids from all over the Northland, even in the surrounding cities, or neighboring cities. So back in 1962, we started our football organization. They were called the Northland Midgets.
Right.
Later on, 1975, a name change was needed. As the league grew, we became the Northland Chargers. That had a lot of tradition from down there, and it's been passed on over through the years, and now has been led and carried on today by Tommy Patala. With my help over the past several years, we're proud to pass on the traditions that we've learned as past Chargers players. And now we're passing that on to some of our coaches have children that are going through the same program. And we feel that that is, you know, something that we could pass on through the years to the kids. So for giving back and appreciation to a lot of the parents and the kids, and they still come down there to this day at Waterwell Park. That's our home field. We're given two free mini camps. One coming up on June 29th. The other one is July 13th. Both are at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Waterwell Park. That's at Missouri 9 Highway and North Broadway. All you need to do is bring cleats and water and just show up, and all are welcome. You do not need to sign up for this. We encourage you to tell your friends. Just come on up and see what we're all about. You know, we take pride. We have a lot of great coaches down there that have had a ton of experience from, you know, flag football all the way up to eighth grade or welcome over there. We have great coaches that have been down there for several years. Tommy Patala, like I said, he runs the organization, and also he coaches as well, head coaches. If you enjoy coming down there and you do decide you like it, hey, we encourage you to sign up. We have one of the best leagues in the area. It's North Suburban Youth Football League. We are all you need to do is sign up nsfyl.com to register for the 2022 season. And if you want more information later on, what's going on, ChargersNorthland.com, or you can also join our Facebook page, Chargers Youth Football. Non-for-profit organization, any fees that come that you pay goes to league fees, and 100% goes back to the organization for the betterment and the safety of the players. We try and put you in the best equipment out there, updated, new uniforms, new pants. We take pride in what we look like out there. And, you know, we're just really proud of the 60 years that could make us one of the oldest top two, three organizations ever in the state. So So we're real happy with that, and we take pride in what we teach, to be positive role models, father-like figures, and we try and pass that knowledge on as life lessons, positive life lessons as well. So we're just not just coaches either. So
tell me again the two mini camps that people want to come, if you got a kid that wants to come out and give it a try.
It's June 29th. That's on a Wednesday. Both dates are on Wednesday. July 13th. That's 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that's Waterwell Park. That's our home field.
And that's all. ChargersNorthland.com is the website, right?
Yes, sir.
And then all they need to bring is what, cleats? And you said cleats and water?
Cleats and water, and just show up. There's no sign-ups for the camps. Those are all our way of wanting to give back as a youth organization.
Yeah, I got a young football player named Tom Ragusa that I'd like to get him involved. Can he come to the mini camp and try out? Would you let him?
Man, absolutely. But I just don't know if I could not stop staring at his big head.
Right. Do you have a helmet that would fit his giant head by any chance? Right.
A triple X would probably fit.
That's right. Yeah. That's. Hey, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're doing well. Give my best to your family. And hopefully some kids will show up out there and you can continue to mentor some young men and some football players. ChargersNorthland.com is the website. All right, John.
And one more thing.
Yep.
Once you're a Charger, you're once a Charger, you're always a Charger. And we appreciate it, guys. I really appreciate you having me on, my old friend.
All right, man. Hey, let's go. Let's go cruise the concourse later on if you got time.
All right? Let's do it.
All right, I'll see you there about 8:30. Thank you, John. That's John Pesciotta, my old Little League baseball friend. And so now you have somebody that you want to promote something. What do you got?
Yeah, so we took care of your old hood, and now let's take care of my old hood, KCK. And
play a dog.
Anytime. I told Marco, I was see if he could find it. Has any luck?
Hey, this KCK, play a dog.
What state is this, though?
Hey, play a dog. This is Why Not County, you know what I'm saying, man? You know, Kansas City, Kansas, you know what I'm saying, man?
That gets me excited every time I hear it. And this, not just in KCK, but in my old stomping grounds at Bishop Ward High School. There's going to be a football camp coming up tomorrow as well. And we have KCK Police Department Chief Coach Carl Oakman joining us on the show now, I believe. Coach Oakman, Chief Oakman, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, I'm good. Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Can you tell us about what you got going on in KCK for the kids tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great opportunity for the kids. We're looking at ages 8 to 18, and what we're going to do is a traditional football camp, but we're calling this camp Tackling Conflict Together. So as you notice, we've had an issue with violence across the metro. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're going to do at the end of the camp and kind of during the camp, we're going to do some things to address anger management and conflict resolution with the kids. And at the end, and I can't tell the listeners what it is, but at the end, every kid is going to get a surprise gift that they will love.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. So what do kids have to do? Do they have to sign up? Do they have to pay some money? How do they get involved in the camp?
Well, one thing when you talk about money, we're doing a lot of things for the kids in KCK, and it's always free. When the police department does something, it will always be free. If you go to the Police Athletic League website, they can sign up. But we will have a few walk-ins the day of. So far, we have about 140 kids signed up for the camp.
Wow. So they go to the Police Athletic League. That's the place to go?
Yeah, they can go on our KCK PD Facebook page or our Kansas City, Kansas Police Athletic League page to sign up. So, yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have – we have several police officers that were – Division One players that'll be out coaching. We may have a couple farmer chiefs out coaching. We're going to have a lot of people in the community. It's going to be a great time. Free food, just a great time.
My buddy Joey Reyes is a part of the Police Athletic League. So please say hi to him for me. So it starts at check-in at 7:30 in the morning. Tomorrow morning, camp starts at 8:45. Shirts and lunch included as well. You can register at PALKCK.com. That stands for Police Athletic League. So PALKCK.com. All right, Chief Oakman, what kind of game you got? Are you a football guy yourself? You know, are you going to get out there and mix it up with the kids?
I heard someone went to Ward.
Yep.
I abused Ward several times on the football field.
Wow.
I'm a Harmon Hawk graduate.
Unbelievable.
All conference, all Kansan, and I played a little bit at Northwest Missouri State. So,
I have a few
skills.
Yeah, I will say that. Okay. I'm guessing you're a lot younger than me, so there's no way that you abused Bishop Ward when I was in school. It was probably well after I was gone, right?
I think I'm probably older than you.
I don't know. I don't know. But, hey, you know what? They've done a good thing. They've done some good work with Dorney Field there. That's going to be a really good location for you guys, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great location. And one of the other things, it's right there kind of in the middle of the city.
Yep.
So transportation shouldn't be an issue for some. So just an ideal location. And, you know, I want to really shout out to send a shout out to Bishop Ward because they always have supported the police department and our community events. And this is an excellent example. And like I said, there's been a lot of businesses that are really donating and making this an opportunity where we can do it for free. And I just want to thank all those corporate sponsors for that.
Okay, I'll give people the details one more time. Go to PALKCK.com in Kansas City, Kansas, at Bishop Ward High School's football field, Dorney Field, at 7:30 is check-in tomorrow morning. Camp starts at 8:45. And working on some conflict resolution while doing football camp with some great coaches all at the same time, and it's free. And I'll give a shout-out to one of the sponsors, by the way, that I've been doing work for, Stephen, Invicta FC, the women's MMA event that takes place in KCK. I've been doing the commentating for them lately, and they're a great organization as well. So, hey, Chief Oakman, thank you very much for the time. Thank you for doing something for the kids and the community. Really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great turnout tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me.
All right, so there's a couple of opportunities to get the youth involved in some great programs, both on the Missouri side and on the Kansas side. Now, can I tell you something that I've been asked to do?
Sure.
And I'm very excited about this, speaking of the community. And then I won't see you next week to give you the rundown. And I'm not saying this to throw this up into your face. I'm saying this actually to invite you.
Oh, I'm invited to something?
I could have told you after the fact, but I'm telling you to invite you. Play that song for me on one, because this is how I feel right now when they ask me this. What song did I tell you at the beginning of the segment?
One shining song.
What did I tell you?
Sorry, we were talking about Frankie Valli earlier, and I know you had one.
No, we were not. That was like an hour ago. What are? Did you sleep at all last night? Are you okay?
I slept. Levo just started. Levo came in here. Summers came in here.
Levo, talking to my producer during a segment and getting him off track. He always warns me against that. He yells at me when I call him when he's trying to work. And what did he just do? Blame it. I want you to throw him under the bus.
No, I just got distracted by.
Who distracted you? Say it.
Marco's trying real hard not to shirk the responsibility here.
Yeah, that's exactly
Todd
right.
Todd Lebo!
Play my song on one. Last night I was at the Hispanic Development Fund Scholarship Award Ceremony. They're representing, you know, I have a scholarship that's named after my mother. Mm-hmm. Had a chance to see one of the recipients and talk to my man Alexis, who is going to William Jewell to play soccer.
Nice.
And I made some promises on your behalf that maybe you could have him out to a sporting game at some point.
I could probably do that.
Would you do that?
Yes.
Get him a tour or something? I don't know.
I'll take him on a tour myself.
Thank you. He's gonna be a star at William Jewell. A star, booby. But then my good friend John Fierro saw me.
Okay.
And with Matty Road Center. And he said, hey, I've been meaning to get a hold of you. but I would like to invite you to take part in something on Sunday. I said, what is it, John? And he said, we're having a little thing called the 2022 Tamale Fest.
Oh.
And we'd like you to be a judge.
Oh, wow.
And I said, why, you beautiful son of a gun. I've been waiting my whole life.
You've been training for this your whole life.
I've been preparing my whole life for someone to ask me to be a judge of a tamale festival. And it's finally happened at age 49. And so, John, he texted me again this morning, and I've not confirmed, but I will say yes to you. It's going to be at the Matty Road Center Cultural Arts Center, 1701 Jarbo, including a Tamale Royal Rumble tasting competition.
Oh, man.
And I am going to be a judge, and they will feed me.
Congratulations,
and I will
man.
Judge and write things down and take notes and comment.
I think I need to have another taste of that tamale.
And let me tell you. Can I tell you who the real winner is going to be?
You?
Me.
Yeah.
I win. 1-0. And Matty Road Center is a wonderful organization that I've supported in the past with a couple of events, and I've been the chair of their golf tournament before, and so they're awesome people, do great things, but it's a tamale festival, a tamale fest, and I'm going to be one of the judges. So.
Man, look at you.
This Sunday. Isn't that,
Hashtag blessed.
I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of all the things.
It just goes to show you, if you really stick to things in life, right. Your dreams can come true.
I've tried so hard to prepare for this, not knowing if it would ever happen, if my skills would be put to use. And let me tell you, they're going to be put to use on Sunday. I'm going to need Monday off, thankfully. So.
It was like when Norm got hired to be a
right.
to be a beer judge on right. Cheers.
So would you be interested in being an honorary judge? I go, oh, boy, would I? So that's all. That's it.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
Where is it again?
At the if you want to come out there, the Cultural Arts Center at 1701 Jarbo. Matty Road Center, Cultural Arts Center, 1701 Jarbo. And I'll tell you. I'll send you this. All right? If you need to know more information. I won't judge you, but I'll judge those tamales. I can promise you that. Let's take a break. We'll talk to Mike McFarland after this on WHB. Hey, Kansas City. Stephen St. John here for my great friends at Kansas City Credit Union. That's right, Kansas City Credit Union. Go to KansasCityCreditUnion.com to get more information about becoming a member like me, like my son Richie. Get all the information you need about 24/7 online banking, loan rates, how you can apply for a loan, how you can become a member. They will help you on your path to financial freedom. That path starts at Kansas City Credit Union. Again, go to KansasCityCreditUnion.com for more information. That's KansasCityCreditUnion.com. There are also wonderful people involved in the community at KansasCityCreditUnion.com. And if you become a member, you can be part of the Kansas City Credit Union family. And I've mentioned this a couple of times in the past few weeks, but the upcoming walk, the Heart and Stroke Walk, that's going to be coming up on October 1st, they are the chairs, and they would love for you to be involved. And it's an awesome event. It's going to start at 8 a.m. in the Power and Light District, the Kansas City Heart and Stroke Walk, October 1st. And Kansas City Credit Union is the chair for this event. And if you'd like to donate, they have a text to give campaign. Just text KC Heart to the number 51555. KC Heart to the number 51555. And they will send you a link to show you how you can donate to the Kansas City Heart and Stroke Walk. Coming up on October 1st on behalf of our good friends with Kansas City Credit Union. And again, for more information about becoming a member, go to KansasCityCreditUnion.com. Tell you something, I'm shocked right now. I go in there to give Lebo some good-natured ribbing about distracting Marco.
Yeah.
He said he didn't, and Marco's lying.
Oh, uh-oh.
He said Marco was just not paying attention. So you got thrown under the bus, Marco, if you're listening, which has not been a theme of today's show. Marco,
I feel like you kind of encouraged him to throw Lebo under the bus a little bit.
I want to know why he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, he finally kind of copped to it a little bit. He was like, well, I just wasn't paying attention.
And Lebo said he did not distract you. It's on you.
So Lebo comes in and fires an airplane reference. And if you come near me with an airplane reference, I'm gonna get into it.
Well,
because I love airplanes.
Surely you can't be serious.
Don't call me Shirley. Right.
So I am serious. I go in there, and then first Lebo throws Marco on the bus, and then we start talking about, hey, what could we replay for later on? What was good from the show? I said, well, Stan talking about Arch Manning was really interesting.
Yeah.
And then I said some things about now Arch Manning in Texas and Oklahoma. I have never in my life seen Lebo more defensive and lashed out at me, which tells me this has got him nervous as an Oklahoma guy. He got so, I mean, he frowned, his mood changed, he lashed out at me and started, you know, rah, rah, rah. Tell me about when Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, tell me about when they played for a national championship. I go, I'm not, you're shooting the messenger, man. He let me have it. Like, I'm one of the Mannings. And just went on. Go in there and see. Next commercial break. Damn near threw me out of his office.
He might be a little bit scared.
I don't know. Very defensive is what I'll say.
When we react in an ugly way towards people, it's a sign of our own insecurity.
Well, there it is. I love Todd, but he hurt my feelings just now. Let's go to Mike McFarland. Mac, good morning. How are you?
Lebo under the bus. That ain't the first time.
Right. That's exactly right. Mac,
won't be the last either.
Nope. I needed you on the show on on Thursday, because I come in here and I just needed someone else to be excited about what I saw from Shohei Ohtani the past couple of nights. Buster only was. Marco had no idea what had happened. Our intern was unsure that the Angels were even playing the Royals the previous night. And I get it. We don't like the Royals to lose. But I saw a baseball player in a 24-hour span against the Royals in one game hit two home runs and drive in eight runs. And then the next night pitch eight shutout innings, including 13 strikeouts. What in the hell are we watching with Ohtani? Because it's something we've never seen before in our lives.
Something we don't watch enough of because they're on the left coast and everything is late and you don't get a chance to see them. But two of the premier players in the game, you know, and Trout and Ohtani. But, oh, my gosh. I mean, I was watching him pitch, the game, and just the variety of stuff that he has and the ability to throw filthy stuff for strikes on a consistent basis. And then, oh, by the way, I can fly. I have a cannon for an arm, and I can absolutely rake. It's just, you know, I talked to Gooby about him, who's the broadcast analyst for the Angels, and, you know, we both played with Bo, and Bo, the ball coming off his bat made a different noise, and Gooby said, this is a different sound coming off of Ohtani's. Just an incredible freak of a baseball player, and, you know, like I said, if he was on the East Coast, the majority of the country would see him on a more consistent basis, but that's one of those guys, you get a chance to watch him, you got to turn it on just to see him play.
I'm with you. But I mean, like you mentioned Bo Jackson, and you were around, you played against Hall of Fame players. I mean, can you put it, since you play the game for such a long time and you're still around the game, can you put it into the proper context of how the difficulty level of him not only doing both, but performing at such a high level, not only as a hitter, and you mentioned his all-around game, but all, just watching him pitch, he's not, he's, he's, he's so fun to watch and so creative, and he can be dominant. And it's not he's not just doing both. He can be dominant both as a hitter and a pitcher. Like I said, in back-to-back nights, can you put that in the context of how freaking difficult that is physically and mentally?
No, when you're comparing him to Babe Ruth, okay, a little difference there because, no, contrary to what Nate thinks, I was not around to watch Babe Ruth.
Right.
But agree to disagree.
You're talking about a difference in filth factor from the pitchers nowadays, and to see what he can do hitting-wise. Just take it from a mental toughness standpoint, hitting and then going out and pitching and dominating on both ends can absolutely change the trend of a game with one swing and has a chance to throw a no-hitter anytime he steps on the mound. It's just nothing that has ever been seen before. And like I said, just unbelievable talent that you have to tune in and see just to, I can't believe what I'm seeing, especially the Royals, you know, what, got two hits right off the bat and you're going, hey, all right, let's go. And then it's like 13 punch outs later, you're going, okay, well, that was downer, but holy smokes, just phenomenal. His ability to dial it up, sweep with the breaking ball, the fork ball, unhittable. You just sit around the TV with your buddies, and you're going, "Oh God, that was dirty. Oh, that was filth." I mean, just with expletives in there that you have no chance. And like I was telling someone, you know, you would have to go into that game facing Ohtani when he's on and consider contact a moral victory.
You know, and I guess one of the things that underscores it to me, Mac, is that, you know, baseball is kind of a weird sport in that an average player can go out and have an extraordinary day, right? Like a guy that was just a good, decent big leaguer could go hit for the cycle. Or even a guy that's like just a good, decent pitcher could go throw a no-hitter on a random day or have 8 RBIs on a random day if the stars all align because you just play so many games. But he went out – this is a guy that went out and did those two things – and that's kind of like, that's how good he is. Like, his numbers overall back up that he's like one of the best pitchers in baseball and one of the best hitters in baseball. I heard Jeff Passan saying with Lebo yesterday, and it kind of was sobering to hear it in this context. He said, well, the Royals don't have a hitter like Ohtani, and they don't have a pitcher like Ohtani. Like, he'd be the best guy on a lot of teams in either thing. It wasn't just like he just kind of had two random lucky days back to back.
No, and what? Didn't the Angels send out that one kid that threw a no-hitter, you know, and had one of those stars align nights? But just the consistency and the constant threat. You got to see him every day. He's going to be either hitting, DHing in the lineup, and then just hope you get the luck of the schedule that you don't have to face him on the mound. Because, again, after those two guys, I mean – yeah, everybody in the world wants to see Mike Trout and Shohei in the postseason. But, you know, the Royals took it to them, and it was good to see taking 2 out of 3 there. But it just shows, one, that one guy really can't carry an entire team. But, two, just the chance to watch him play. You know, and as a hitter, you want to go up there and compete. But, damn, sometimes you're just saying, I better get my hits tonight because Ohtani's on the mound tomorrow.
Okay, so try to relate this to the Royals. We see a number of young arms that appear to have good stuff, good pedigree, that were successful in college, had some success in the minors, and just in general, they haven't been able to translate that on a consistent basis at the major league level. When you watch a guy like Ohtani, what can or what should a young pitcher of the Royals take away from the way he pitches and his approach that might lead, like, what are we lacking here? Like Nate said, the Royals have a pitcher like him. Well, they've invested first-round picks. Like, what do these guys have to do to get somewhere, at least in the neighborhood, where they don't hit a wall in the fourth or fifth inning, where you can actually get 6 or 7 innings out of them a game, and you can actually call them a number one or a number two starter?
Well, one, we don't have anybody that's 6'8" whose arms are long enough to have his knuckles drag on the ground and have the ability to extend and throw the ball 98 miles an hour, you know, after 100 pitches. You forget, though, that he did have his time in the major leagues in Japan and put up some numbers there. And even back when Hideo Nomo and Hideki Arabu and those guys started coming over, there was always that, Japanese baseball players and Ichiro, and those guys changed it around that, hey, there's some legitimacy to the ball that's being played in Japan, especially when it comes to their superstars. But their restrictions over there with their ability to become free agents and post themselves to be picked up by a major league team forces them to keep that consistency going, you know, to drive up the numbers for them to come over to the major leagues when they do get old enough. So it's just hard to say with how, you know, there's some things in the Japanese league where they throw a hell of a lot more, but under controlled circumstances. And maybe that does pay, you know, dividends for their arm and their stamina to go long in games. And we're so concerned about arm care over here nowadays that, you know, maybe there's something to be said about that. Now, granted, I'm on the side of erring on the side of caution when it comes to arm care, but still, just the fact that that they throw a heck of a lot more. And I mean, the kid's a freak. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's everything you want in an athlete. You know, that's just one of those freaks right now.
Hey, let's move on to what's happening now with the Royals. Salvi is listed as day-to-day with a left thumb injury. He was out of the lineup for Wednesday's finale against the Angels because he aggravated that pre-existing thumb issue on a swing the previous night. He was on the IL with that left thumb sprain. I know he underwent an MRI on Wednesday, and the Royals are still trying to figure out what to do with him. Considering that they're not challenging for a playoff spot, I know that they don't want to hear that in the first half, but that's just the reality. And you do have a kid like MJ Melendez that you would like to evaluate at catcher. Should they shut Salvi down for a few weeks just to let that thumb heal properly? Because it seems like if you bring it back too quick, it's already turned into a recurring thing, and it could maybe ruin his season. Do you think maybe they should proceed with a little caution here, put him on the IL, try to shut him down and get that thumb healed, and then let's take a look at MJ Melendez?
Now, I mean, having had some of those thumb shots, I guess you could relate it to a stinger in football, that once you get over it, the tendency to get another one is still there. But, you know, you can't control how you catch the ball, especially when there's a foul tip. And those are the times that your thumb gets jammed big time when you're catching. And, you know, you can have some orthoplast thumb guards now that you can catch with that really, really help. And I don't know if he's using one or not, but maybe he needs a bigger one. But, you know, when he was maybe 80% and he was still hitting bombs and driving in runs and doing those things, yeah, you're still out there to win ball games. And any chance we have, if he's 80%, I'm throwing his butt in the lineup. So if I'm Matheny, yeah, I want him just to stay here. You have two catchers still. And whenever he says and declares, yeah, I'm good to go, then you throw his butt back in the lineup because that helps us offensively. And, yes, we want to win ball games. So shutting him down for another extended period of time, I hope that's not the case. But it's one of those things that is going to be recurring. Man, you need a good 2 weeks of catching again before that injury goes away. And I know, you know, Nick Kenny and all of the very good trainers we have here in Kansas City, they're doing everything they can to get him back. But you know, it's just an irritant that, you know, is going to be there for a while just because of being a catcher and getting jammed and catching a sinker wrong, or you're setting up outside and they throw a two-seamer inside on accident. It's just things that happen. It's just part of the wear and tear of being a catcher. But don't shut him down, because he can go out and pop one out and drive in some runs and help us win a game.
So, Mac, if he's out for a little bit anyway, we might get to see MJ Melendez play more catcher. the numbers so far, at least like if you go to Fangraphs, one of those places, they have rated him pretty poorly defensively. Obviously, offensively, I think we've been pretty encouraged by what Melendez has done. What are you seeing from Melendez so far behind the plate?
Raw, getting overpowered from time to time. I think he's athletic enough. I think he blocks fairly well, but he's a little rough on the receiving and the framing side, and that's just a matter of getting used to, you know, this high caliber, you know, leverage arms that we have coming out of the bullpen and some of the starters. I mean, you know, you look at Daniel Lynch, the kid's all over the place. That's why he throws 100 pitches in, you know, four innings. I love his stuff. I think this kid is going to be phenomenal. But trying to get him to, once he starts zoning in and hitting his spot, that kid's going to be a top-of-the-line starter, in my opinion. But that's hard to catch. When you're setting up for a 95-mile-an-hour two-seamer away and it cuts on you, and you're back there kind of with a trash can lid just trying to be defensive and knock the ball down, and you turn into a catcher rather than a receiver. And I think that's some of what's going on with him. But just getting used to those arms and catching them and starting to know what to expect, how the ball's going to move, will make them better. So getting an extended stint behind home plate, I think, is a good thing. But what MJ has, one, is his bat, and when you have a bat like his, they're going to find a place in the lineup for you, whether it's the outfield, DH, or behind the plate.
Mike McFarland's our guest. Mac, I want to read you something from a column from John Heyman, the New York Post, and the headline is Royals looking to trade Whit Merrifield more than ever before. And let me just read you this quick paragraph, and I'd like to get your reaction. The Royals, a realistic group, will sell. Andrew Benintendi may be their top piece, and Carlos Santana may draw interest. The Royals are talking more seriously about the versatile Whit Merrifield in trade discussions than ever before, one rival exec said. He's a free agent after next year. And so, and that's it. And then he goes on and talks about some other players that are being talked about in trades. John Heyman's, I think he's pretty well-respected baseball insider. I think we all admit that and realize that the Royals should be sellers. He calls the Royals a realistic group. I know that after reading some replies on Twitter to this article, some people pushed back at that comment whether or not they're a realistic group. But the point is, a rival exec and other people are saying the Royals are now more seriously talking about trading Whit Merrifield. Unfortunately, his trade value is not what it was a year or two ago, but he still does have a year left, and he's been better the last month. And so what's your reaction to what John Heyman says about the Royals apparently being more willing to trade Whit Merrifield right now?
Oh, I would take him in a heartbeat. I don't know if there's a certain malaise after years of kind of just organization fluttering around and rebuilding that has set in. But, my gosh, you put Whit Merrifield in a situation where he's in a pennant race, I'll take those chances. And, look, there's some teams out there looking for someone that has some versatility that can do the things that Whit Merrifield does. No question about it. I think there's going to be some offers for Whit, and then it's up to the Royals whether they feel that it's enough compensation for him. But if I'm a team out there looking, you can see the things, you know, the way he steals bases, his ability to make contact, great awareness of the zone, good defensively. But the intangibles of the drive and the hard work and the intensity that he brings and would bring can change a team around. Yes, Benintendi has the numbers to do that. But, look, I would take Whit Merrifield in a heartbeat if I had a chance to get him.
And just, you know, for reference, over the last 21 days, he's hitting .286 with a .345 on base. Over the last week, he's hitting .308 with a .400 on base. So he's turned things around. His overall numbers don't look good, but he's getting there.
Same with Santana. Yeah. Santana's hitting, what, .350 in the month of June?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the ball's starting to jump off the barrel a little bit more. So, you know, where it went from, okay, no one's going to take this at all, to, hey, not a bad bat to come off the bench for us in the pennant run. That might be a good pickup as well.
But I'm with you with Merrifield, his versatility, And the ability to steal bases, and just overall what he could bring to a baseball team. If you're a contender, I'd be excited about adding that piece where he doesn't have to come in and be the best player on the team, where he's, you know, he's more pressure has been put on him with the Royals because he doesn't have that kind of talent around, you know, surrounding him, where he has it the past couple of years. But he can go somewhere, just be a piece and be in a winning environment. And that could you know, not that he's not motivated now, but that would be huge.
Put up some pep in your step. Yeah, exactly. But look, whether people around the country, you know, where Witt may not be a household name, you talk to any player in both leagues about what kind of player Whit Merrifield is, they would say, go get that guy right now.
Mike McFarland, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You take anything away from that, Nate? Do you believe that, or are we going to get to the trade deadline again and we're going to, well, you know, we've won, you know, we had a winning record in June. We feel pretty good about where we are. We keep these players.
I think they'll at least unload Santana if at all possible.
Whit Merrifield.
I'll believe it when I see it on Whit, because they've seemed keen to keep him around.
So do you think there's anything to John Heyman's report?
Sure, yeah, and I buy it. I mean that they're at least going to consider it. We'll just see, like, how do they value him? You know, do they feel like, oh, well, we're getting in returns not good enough, and because they valued him very highly in the past, right? So we'll see.
Trade Whit Merrifield, yes or no?
I'd put it about 50-50. I'd lean towards...
You get off the fence.
I'll lean towards yes.
I'm Marco. A no.
You don't want them to, or they won't?
They won't.
Do you want them to?
Yes.
Do you think that's the smart play?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm skeptical that it'll happen.
They can't value him now the same that they... did 2 years ago.
Right.
Well, I'd like to see him get a chance to go win somewhere.
Right. I mean, yeah. But his numbers over the last month, he backed it normal, close to normal. But if you're a contending team, of course you could use him. Of course you could.
Yep. He's a good baseball player.
Back after this on WHB.
Hey, the Royals are home again tonight. Ticketsforless.com is your home for the best selection of tickets for every home game. Gates open at 4:30 for the Big Slick Celebrity Softball Game, and you can stay for the summer fireworks. Boy, what a night. Plus, don't forget that Sunday is the Salvi Bobblehead Giveaway. With Tickets for Less, you'll find great seats and save because you never pay crazy per-ticket fees like you do with other sites. Tickets for Less also has seats to all your favorite concerts and events, including Kenny Chesney on July 2nd at Arrowhead. Shop now at ticketsforless.com.